가시도가야안나나고또가시도가야안나나나고또가시도가야Shrimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 6, Radha Dynasty retires to Paras. And today's texts are 45 and 46.
Sitting.
Walking. Standing. 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 Bathing. Taking recreation. Ashina. Eating. Adishu. And other activities. Katana. How. Plan. You. Plan. Deal. Translation. Sorry? There are two more lines. Oh, okay, sorry. I went to the wrong page. Sorry. Atmanam. Self. Vayam. Me. Bhakta. Your devotees. Tejena. Can reject. He. Indeed. Translation now. My dear Lord, you are the Supreme Soul, and thus you are most dear to us. We are your devotees, and how can we possibly reject you or live without you even for a moment? Whether we are lying down, sitting, walking, standing, bathing, enjoying recreation, eating or doing anything else, we are constantly engaged in your service. Purport. One should be constantly engaged in the service of Lord Krishna. By hearing about Krishna and by serving Him, we can give up the illusion of trying to enjoy something separately from the Supreme Lord. If we neglect such hearing and serving, our minds will become bewildered by the illusory energy of the Lord. And seeing the world as separate from Krishna, we will take it as a place meant for our own sense gratification. This gross ignorance brings nothing but trouble to the living entity. Text 46. We can all read this together. Uchishta bhojane dasas tavanayam jayehi. Translation. Simply by decorating ourselves with garlands, fragrant oils, clothes, and ornaments that we have already enjoyed, and by eating the remnants of your meals, we, your servants, will indeed conquer your illusory energy. Purport. It is clear from this verse that Uddhava is not approaching the Lord for liberation from the illusory energy. As a personal confidential associate of Lord Krishna, Uddhava was undoubtedly a completely liberated soul. He is praying to the Lord because he cannot bear the thought of living without Krishna even for a moment. This feeling is called love of God. Uddhava is addressing the Lord as follows. Even if your illusory energy tries to attack us, my Lord, we will very easily conquer her by our powerful weapons, which are the remnants of your foodstuffs, clothes, ornaments, and so on. In other words, we will easily conquer over Maya by Krishna Prasadam, and not by useless speculation and mental concoction. Shivadar ki jai.
Om Namah Shivaya. Vishnu Paraya Krishna Pishthaya Bhutale Shruti Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tumani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaura Gauri Pracharini Nu Vishesh Shanivari Paschatya Deshitani Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So I thought I would speak a little bit about verse 45 and 46, and then give a little more detailed information about Udhava, Sri Udhava, who is very prominent in this part of the Bhagavatam. Our dear Lord, you are the Supreme Soul, and thus you are most dear to us. We are your devotees, and how can we possibly reject you or live without you even for a moment? Whether we are lying down, sitting, walking, standing, bathing, enjoying recreation, eating, or doing anything else, we are constantly engaged in your service. So this sounds like complete absorption in the Lord. Everything that one does, all these different activities that Sri Udhava is talking about, is remembering the Lord completely. So, the example of Ambarish Maharaj comes to mind in thinking of these. And it is described, Savai Nama Krishna Padara Vindayo Bachamsi Vaikuntha Gunana Vindayo Kara Hare Nandira Marjanadi Shu Shutin Chakara Chuta Satkato Daye Mukunda Vindavaya Darshanadri Shau Tadbhitya Gatras Prashanga Sangana Gramam Chatapara Saroja Saurade Shunakta Lasya Vasanam Tadarpite. I'm sure you can pick up a few words here and there from this. Tulasya would mean Tulasi. Parahare Shetra Padana Sarpani Shiro Shitesha Padadi Vandu Kanam Chadasi Yatukama Kamaya Yato Tamasloka Janashaya Rati. Meaning is Maharaj Ambarish always engages his mind in meditating upon the lotus feet of Krishna. He's meditating constantly on Krishna. His words in describing the glories of the Lord. His hands in cleansing the Lord's temple. So each of the different parts of his body he is using in the service of the Lord. And his ears in hearing the words spoken by Krishna or about Krishna. He engages his eyes in seeing the beauty of Krishna, Krishna's temples and Krishna's places like Mathura and Vrindavan. He engages his sense of touch in touching the bodies of the Lord's devotees. He engages his sense of smell in smelling the fragrance of tulsi offered to the Lord. And he engages his tongue in tasting the Lord's prasad. He engages his legs in walking to the holy places and temples of the Lord. His head is bowing down before the Lord. And all his desires in serving the Lord 24 hours a day. Indeed, Maharaj Ambarish never desired anything for his own sense gratification. He engaged all his senses in devotional service, in various engagements related to the Lord. This is the way to increase attachment for the Lord and be completely free from all material desires. It says again, one should be constantly engaged in the service of Lord Krishna. By hearing Lord Krishna and by serving him, we can give him the illusion, we can give up the illusion, trying to enjoy something separately from the Supreme Lord. And then the other part is, if we neglect such hearing and serving, our minds will become bewildered by the illusory energy of the Lord, and seeing the world as separate from Krishna, we will take it as a place meant for our own sense gratification. This gross ignorance brings nothing but trouble to the living entity. So, this is the flip side of the coin. By remembering the Lord, by serving Him constantly, we get one result. And by not doing that, we become bewildered by the illusory energy of the Lord. And then, what happens? And we think that this world is for our own sense gratification. This gross ignorance brings nothing but trouble to the living entity. So, this trouble comes in so many different forms, so many different ways. And so, no one would like to suffer in this world, the suffering of the living entity. And by not worshipping the Lord, and by doing all kinds of other activities against the injunctions of the scriptures and so forth, then so much trouble comes our way. The next verse goes, simply by decorating ourselves with garments, fragrant oils, clothes and ornaments that you have already enjoyed, and by eating the remnants of your meals, we, your servants, will indeed conquer your illusory energy. So this is the this is the strength of the devotees, of how they can actually conquer the illusory energy of the Lord. It's very, very powerful. It is clear that Uddhava is not approaching the Lord from liberation from the illusory energy. As a personal, confidential associate of Lord Krishna, Uddhava is undoubtedly a completely liberated soul. So he is giving us the knowledge of how we can also become like that, how we can free ourselves from the suffering of the material world, and how we can free ourselves from not being illusioned by so many difficulties of this world. He is praying to the Lord because he cannot bear the thought of living without Krishna even for a moment. This feeling is called love of God. Uddhava is addressing the Lord, even if your illusory energy tries to attack us, my Lord, we will very easily conquer her by our powerful weapons. And what are those powerful weapons? There's weapons of mass destruction. And then there's the weapons here of mass purification. So this is what he is describing, that all the remnants of the foodstuffs, the clothes, the ornaments, and so forth, these are the real weapons, how to conquer the illusory energy. And if one actually conquers the illusory energy, it automatically means because who is there can actually conquer the illusory energy of the Lord? In order for one to conquer the illusory energy of the Lord, we must have the Lord's benediction, the Lord's blessings. So if one conquers the illusory energy of the Lord, we can easily say that he has actually conquered the Lord. Isn't it? Jita. So this would be the success of one's devotion to the Lord, by being able to conquer the illusory energy. And we have seen many devotees, many personalities who have conquered the Lord. For example, the Lord is unconquerable, but he allows himself to be conquered by those who have love for him. For example, Mother Yashoda. In so many different ways, and there's so much description of how Mother Yashoda is trying to serve the Lord, and he is conquered by the service and the devotion. This is what is required. Can you think of any other example of someone who has conquered the Lord? Radharani, Srimati Radharani. She was always in service. She is considered the best servant of the Lord. Srimati Radharani is considered the best servant of the Lord. And she has given up everything for him. Everything that, and Krishna, of course, constantly testing and also being controlled by Srimati Radharani. Any other example? Sorry? Mother Yashoda. Mother Yashoda. Okay. Bali Maharaj. How does Bali Maharaj conquer the world?
By surrendering completely.
Exactly. So Bali Maharaj he gave everything. He gave everything to Vanadeva. He gave everything to Vanadeva, who was actually Krishna. And so the Lord was very pleased with that. He was able to surrender everything to him. Even when the Lord was asking for two steps of land. It's only one more. So he asked me for two steps of land, and he was able to cover the whole universe by those two steps, and there was no place to put the third step. And so Bali Maharaj offered his head, meaning he offered everything, completely surrendered. And the Lord was very pleased with that, and then of course became his servant in Sutala Loka. Another example, Arjuna. How did Arjuna was able to please the Lord completely? By being his friend?
Because one time Arjuna asked
Krishna. Microphone?
Arjuna asked Krishna that if I were to be killed, that it was.
Okay.
Yeah, Krishna, when Arjuna asks Krishna, if I were to be killed, what would you do? Krishna says, I would kill all the warriors in this battlefield. I would kill all the warriors of this battlefield, and then I would renounce or something like that, you know? But just, Arjuna was just acting what would him do, so that could show the affection Lord Krishna had.
In other words, he was willing to give up everything for Krishna. Any other example? Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. He gave up everything and has served with no limit to spread Krishna's fame, Krishna's glory, and spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. What about Dhruva Maharaj? What did he do?
He proved that ultimate object is not any calculation of material expectation. Even though he had intention to get a bigger kingdom than his great grandfather. Not only father, but
at the end, when he got that, then he found it's so insignificant because the service to the Lord supersedes all expectation.
Exactly.
And then he says, I was looking for broken glass, I found diamond. That's what Prabhupada said.
Very good. Yeah. So Dhruva Maharaj, he surrendered and the Lord was very pleased with him. What is the Sanskrit for the broken glass?
Achal.
Acham.
Like us.
Nayachi. What is the full sentence?
Swami Pitato Sri Varam
Nayachi. Swami Pitato Smaram Nayachi. That's right. And then there was a hunchbacked lady who also pleased Krishna and surrendered. Remember that pastime? Kubja. Kubja. And Krishna was very pleased with her. For what? What did she do?
Service.
Service. What kind of service?
Sandalwood paste.
Sandalwood paste. Yes, she was very happy. And she didn't just give the sandalwood paste, but she was very happy to give up the sandalwood paste which she had. And because Krishna touched her, she became a very beautiful young woman. It is described. So, even though Krishna is unconquerable, he is conquered by this pure loving devotion of the devotees. And this is what is necessary for everybody, for everyone. In other words, it is described, we will easily conquer over Maya by Krishna Prasadam and not by useless speculation and mental concoction. So, here it is said, easily conquer over Maya. Maya is very strong, very, very powerful. And by Krishna Prasadam, one can do that. It's not only food prasadam, but there is also clothes and ornaments and flowers and garlands and so many other ways, other prasadam. There is a remnants of the Supreme Lord. And so this is the real weapon. And one has to learn how to acquire the weapon and how to use the weapon. So I'll just stop there for a second and then mention something about Uddhava, which is, this is in the third canto, fourth chapter of Bhagavatam. It is said that Sri Uddhava said, "Will you take lessons from the great learned sage Maitreya?" He is actually speaking now to Vidura. Vidura was like his father. He was old enough to be his father. And Uddhava wanted, Vidura wanted that Uddhava give him knowledge and give him shelter. So, Uddhava is speaking. "When you take lessons from the great learned sage Maitreya," Maitreya was about the same age as Vidura. "Maitreya, who is nearby and who is worshipped with the reception of transcendental knowledge. He was directly instructed by the personality of Godhead while he was about to quit this mortal world." And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada said, "Although one may be well versed in the transcendental science, one should be very careful about the offense of Maryada Vyatikrama." We were just discussing this a few days ago with Janmashmi Prabhu. "Or impertinently surpassing a greater personality. According to scriptural injunction, one should be very careful of transgressing the law of Maryada Vyatikrama. Because by so doing, one loses his duration of life, his opulence, his fame and piety, and the blessings of the whole world. To be well versed in the transcendental science necessitates awareness of the techniques of spiritual science. Uddhava, being well aware of all these technicalities of transcendental science, advised Vidura to approach Maitreya to receive transcendental knowledge. Vidura wanted to accept Uddhava as a spiritual master. But Uddhava did not accept the post because Vidura was as old as Uddhava's father, and therefore Uddhava could not accept him as his disciple, especially when Maitreya was present nearby. The rule is that in the presence of a higher personality, one should not be very eager to impart instructions, even if one is competent and well-versed. So Uddhava decided to send an elderly person like Vidura to Maitreya, another elderly person, but he was well-versed also because he was directly instructed by the Lord while he was about to quit this mortal world. Since both Uddhava and Maitreya are directly instructed by the Lord, both have the authority to become the spiritual master of Vidura or anyone else, but Maitreya, being elderly, had the first claim to becoming the spiritual master, especially for Vidura, who was much older than Uddhava. One should not be eager to become a spiritual master cheaply for the sake of profit and fame, but should become a spiritual master only for the service of the Lord. The Lord never tolerates the impertinence of Marada Gatikrama. One should never pass over the honor due to an elderly spiritual master in the interests of one's own personal gain and fame. Impertinence on the part of a pseudo spiritual master is very risky to progressive spiritual realization. It is also described in the third canto. Shishupada Goswami said about Uddhava, when the great devotee Uddhava was asked by Vidura to speak on the messages of Lord Krishna, Uddhava was unable to answer immediately due to excessive anxiety at the remembrance of the Lord. He was one who, even in his childhood, at the age of 5 years, this is Uddhava, was so absorbed in the service of Lord Krishna that when he was called by his mother for morning breakfast, he did not wish to have it. From his very birth, Uddhava was a natural devotee of Lord Krishna, or a nitya siddha, a liberated soul. From natural instinct, he used to serve Lord Krishna even in his childhood. He used to play with dolls in the form of Krishna. He would serve the dolls by dressing, feeding and worshipping them. And thus he was constantly absorbed in the play of transcendental realization. These are the signs of an eternally liberated soul. An eternally liberated soul is a devotee of the Lord who never forgets him. So Uddhava is a very, very great personality. And he's described all the places that he was the cousin of Krishna. He was a cousin of Krishna. He said to be the son of Devabhaga, who was a brother of Krishna's father Vasudeva. Vasudeva's brother Devabhaga. So in this way, all these are wonderful topics about Krishna and Uddhava and so forth. Any questions or comments to the Kampur?
Comment on Uddhava. Narad Muni had found out that only next to the gopis was, or Uddhava was considered the topmost devotee of Krishna, the topmost recipient of Krishna's mercy apart from the gopis. Or next in line to the gopis was Uddhava, he was such. So that he was a higher recipient than Brahma, Shiva, Arjuna, the Pandavas, everything. See? Only next to the gopis he was there.
Thank you. Yes, Hari Prabhu. And then Dharmaraj.
for the third example.
Can you hear me? Yeah. Well, thank you for the lecture. Nice lecture. I was thinking about your question. For example, I was thinking about when you asked, what did Maharaj do to conquer Krishna, or what did X, Y, Z do to conquer Krishna? I was thinking, what did Jagannath Maharaj do to conquer Krishna? They insulted him, they hit Nityananda Prabhu in the head with a pot, they chased Nityananda Prabhu, tried to. So what did they do that they conquered?
They were at the right place at the right time. they were not ordinary living entities, and the Lord was giving out the mercy at that time when they happened to be there. So Jaga and Madai, they show us the way. If they can, with all their bad qualities, if they can make it, we can also. Yes, Mother Garagatmika has the answer. Oh, actually, Dharmaj, you have it first, yeah. After Dharmaj. I have to keep my word.
Just 2 points. You mentioned of Uddhava, playing the guitar of Krishna. So apparently he was the first one that worshipped the deity of Krishna. I'm not sure, because generally here, like, we understand that Krishna's great grandson was the one who established the deity worship and so forth, but apparently Uddhava was in front of that, based on what you're explaining.
It would seem like, yeah, because his grandson came way after.
Yeah, also when you mentioned of Uddhava, Maitreya and Vidura, in terms of seniority, I was just thinking, in Srila Prabhupada's pastimes, when he was first preaching in India, when his godbrother was the presiding guru for the mat, and they actually kicked him out because he was about to accept disciples or something to that nature, with his senior godbrother per se, who was supposed to be the presiding guru. They accused him of preaching independently and to accept, disciples for himself rather than bringing it to his Guru Maharaj. So it appears to be contradictory, but it seems that from a higher perspective is that he had a higher purpose of acting in that way. Not sure if anyone can put some light on that.
Srila Prabhupada.
Yes, Srila Prabhupada, yeah.
Yeah.
He was giving instructions in the presence of his senior, but at least, to the hierarchy at the time. So yeah. It appears as though he had like a higher purpose and not, unlike.
Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur already mentioned to him that, or mentioned in the presence of others, that he was going to do it all. Meaning Srila Prabhupada, in the future, he would be able to do it all. They had that difficulty with God. He had that difficulty with God brothers, who were thinking that he should toe the line. And of course, Srila Prabhupada was much higher than that. Yes, Mother Ragatmika. If you put it horizontal, it might work better. Maybe off now.
Jagannath Maharaj.
Yeah.
When Lord Chaitanya came and was gonna, send his
Sudarshan
Chakra, when Nityananda said, "Oh no, my Lord," he said, "Jagai saved my life," and because Jagai prevented Madai from throwing or hurting Nityananda once more, and it was due to Jagai's just preventing him from throwing another pot or something. So that changed the Lord's, Lord Chaitanya's mood. And but he did turn them over to Nityananda after all to be their savior.
Yeah, thank you. Also, that's your answer, Harpreet.
Also, Chankazi.
Yeah.
He
was a good one.
Benedicted with love of Krishna because he finally submitted to the Lord and declared that any of his descendants would never interfere with the Sankirtan movement.
Yeah, he made that promise.
Yeah. He was Kamsa in his last life.
He was Kamsa?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because the place where
even Kamsa made it.
The place where he was delivered is called Mathura in Navadvip.
Yeah.
It's the Mathura area.
Okay. Thank you. What do they go with that? Oh. Okay, Lila.
No,
I
just wanted to say, because we said Javan Mani Pandita Mani Singh activities were so bad that if they could receive the mercy of the Lord, we can also. But I just want to say one thing. It's mentioned that one activity they did not do that made mercy was that they did not commit offenses to Vaishnavas. And I think sometimes we do do that, so we have to be careful. Because when we become familiar with the society of the world, we have to be careful, because that was what made them eligible, that they did not make offenses against Vaishnavas. So that's one of the things that the world doesn't tolerate.
He's the Lord, too.
And then I was thinking, so Jagai saved Nityananda's life, but after they were delivered, Madai felt so much remorse for his previous behavior that he wanted to serve the feet of all the Vaishnavas. So there's Madai Ghat, where he built a ghat, so they could enter to the Ganga and he would serve every devotee to make up for the previous offense.
And also, it is described that both of them actually had ghats on the bank of the Ganges, and they would actually live there. All the devotees, all the people who come, all the devotees who are coming to bathe and to do their ablutions and so forth, but they would help them. They would help everybody who come, and they would. It is described that they would cry. Each person who comes, they would cry and put their hands together and ask forgiveness. And because Lord Chaitanya had asked them to do that, actually, that this is how you can reform yourself, by going and staying at the ghat and serve all the residents and all the people who come there. And so they were doing that and crying and doing that service for that period of time.
I thought of one response also to Nityananda was bringing up the fact that we offend devotees. Somewhere, I think it's in CC, but Prabhupada says that offenses against a pure devotee are so severe that no one can be delivered from that unless and until he sincerely regrets his offense and thus rectifies it.
Joy. Thank you. So there's always a loophole. All right, anything else? Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Venkata Srila Bhagavatam ki jai. Thank you.